Genesis 30. This is a simple message that the Lord has stirred me, but I believe if you're trying to hear it with the ear of the Spirit, I think it'll really stir you wherever it is that you're at in your particular walk with the Lord at this point. I told the pastor this morning, I said, please try to keep a straight face while I try to minister this, because he knows that this one's kind of close to home. So when I start ministering this one, it's close to me where I'm at this point, but I feel like if you'll hear it with the ear of the Spirit, I think the Lord will minister to your heart. It depends on where you're at in your walk with the Lord. It's for everybody that's here. It just may be that it's relevant as to where you're at in your particular walk. So as you sit, ask the Lord to really open your heart to hear what it is that He's trying to say. It's very simple, very short, but it is profound if you'll hear what He's saying, okay? So we've been talking about the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham. And over the course of time, it's becoming more and more real to me as I go back and I look over at myself and I study over the Word myself. And it's like just looking at Abraham's life, the hardness that was in his life of having to start out and not know where he's going. And he knows he's been stirred of God. You all going to have to pray for me this morning. I'm not sad. It's the Lord trying to do something in me. But we'll get through it. Amen. And it's like Abraham had a stirring from the Lord in his heart. And he knew that the Lord was calling him to come out of the place he was in, but he didn't really know where he was going. And so this man has to learn to walk totally and completely by faith, not knowing exactly where he's going, just knowing that his heart has been touched of the Holy Ghost. And over a course of time of him going in the faith of God and God having his hand in Abraham's life, he began to come into a oneness with the Lord. And he came into a communion with God that so changed his life, where he knew who the Lord was. His heart was melted and it was captured by the love of God. His heart was caught up in the Lord and in intimacy with him. And as a result of that, of the hard life that he lived, and when I say hard, I'm saying that we sense hard when we say we have to go and do something that we don't know what we're doing. And we don't like not knowing where we're going and what we're doing because we have no control. And it's like it's a scary place and it's a fearful place. And Abraham was no different than we are today. He was afraid. He was fearful. But he felt the stirring and he went on faith and God counted it as unto his righteousness for him. And he brought him into a place of intimacy and communion with God, where God had preeminence in his life, where his life was totally controlled by the Lord, by the Holy Ghost, by his love for God. The love that he had for God constrained him to walk the straight and narrow way and to walk a heart with a heart that was totally toward God. And as a result of this man's walk, of walking out in faith, his heart, he produced an Isaac. He produced the promise of God that the seed would go through Isaac. And we learned that through Isaac's life, that Isaac never strived for anything. Everything was handed into his lap. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't look for anything. It was an easy life for him. There was no striving. His life was very peaceful. It was very easy. Everything was given to him, his inheritance, his wife, the wells were dug. Isaac just was receiving the gifts of God, the blessings of God. So Abraham, we can't have the God of Abraham without the God of Isaac. And so we should sit here this morning and be blessed to see that yes, there's times when we have to step out by faith. And God proves himself to us, but there are other times when we've walked through things of our life that God shows another side of himself and he shows us the God of Isaac, where he just gives unto us. And Isaac's life was one that was peaceful, it was easy, and he met the God that gives. He met the God that gives into him and for nothing that he's done. He just gives. And so we start to recognize and we start to see this God of Isaac, because when we look within ourselves and see the path, we want to serve God. Our hearts want to do right. Our hearts want to give our all and to surrender, but we see ourselves. We see that there's places in our lives where we're not doing that, but yet we see God give blessings. That is the God of Isaac. We see all the shortcomings, but yet we see this side of God that just gives it into our lap, and we go, wow, where'd it come from? God says, receive it and enjoy. And that's the God of Isaac. And so his life was one of ease. But when we come to the God of Jacob, we find that Jacob's life was a struggle. It was a long, hard struggle. You say, here we go again. It's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But it's really not. It's not like we go revert back to the God of Abraham. Abraham had to walk by faith. Jacob was the self-life being chastened and disciplined along its way. Do you understand that? There's a time when we have to step out in faith like Abraham and trust God. It's hard, it's scary, and it's fearful at times. But God proves himself to you, and then you start to produce the promises of God in your life, and you start to receive from God of Isaac. But then God of Jacob is always present. Jacob is always present within our lives because that is a self-life. It is our own natural strength that wants to come and take control and wants to do its thing. Amen? And God is saying to you, he so wants to encourage you that you can't have the God of Isaac without the God of Jacob. But you can't have the God of Jacob without the God of Isaac and Abraham. And so God's trying to encourage you this morning that yes, Jacob is alive and well. But just as sure as we come to know the God of Jacob, we will know the God of Isaac in the midst of it. We'll start to see him. He'll start putting blessings in our lap, not because we've done good, not because we prayed, not because we've read our Bible and got all the A, B's, and C's in order, but because he's the God of Isaac, he gives. He is a giving father. He's a loving father with a father's heart. And he gives to his children because he loves them. And he gives them little tokens along their path to encourage them that yes, this is the way, walk ye there in it. And so he blesses us along our path, even though Jacob is alive and well. And the struggle is within us. Amen? And he constantly is putting the hand of discipline on us because our own strength wants to rise up. And the old self wants to rise up. And just as sure as we won't escape the discipline in our life, the thing God wants to show you, you're never going to escape it. Because Jacob is there. And the hand of God, the discipline and the chastisement will be in your life. And you can't escape it. There's no way of getting around it. And every time you try to take a door out for the flesh, you're just getting deeper in. And so God's saying you can't escape the chastisement and the discipline of God. But just as sure as you can't escape that, neither can you escape God's heart. You can't escape from God's loving heart that wants to give unto his children, that wants to bless them. It is with you every time you turn around. God's saying, yes, Jacob's there. Is God winking at Jacob? No. He took the man through 20 years of hell, of discipline and chastisement, of breaking him and molding him and making him into a vessel that God could use. But just as sure as he couldn't escape that, he couldn't escape God's love all around him. He couldn't escape the father's heart that wanted to give unto his child because Jacob was the one the seed was going to be preserved in. And he couldn't escape the love of God. You don't look at me with those long faces this morning. God is trying to encourage you that yes, if you don't know yourself, if you don't know Jacob, it's because you don't know yourself. He is there. He is alive in us. But God's saying, and you said, but I can't get out from under this heaviness, this discipline. I see myself everywhere I turn. You're right. You'll never escape it. But just as sure as you won't escape that, you won't escape the love that God has for you in his heart. You'll see it when you get up in the morning, and you'll sense it when you pray, and when you read the word, you'll sense the love of God encouraging you and uplifting you. And that's the God of Isaac all through your path, taking you through the God of Jacob. He's never leaving you. He's never forsaken you. His heart, the loving heart of God is there. Upholding you and sustaining you and whispering in your ear, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you through this. And this too is going to pass. And it's going to be, you're going to be a vessel meet for the master's use. A golden vessel, gems in the master's crown. Vessels to be used, to be broken and spilled out and poured out for him. And he's telling you that his love is there upholding you, sustaining you, and you can't escape it. Because it constrains his people into the straight and narrow way. Amen? If you say, well, there's a difference in the way some people are chastised versus the way others are. You know why? Because in some of us, there's more Jacob than in others. Like it or not.
And that's why God chooses His own way. And that's why we're not free to sit back and say, well, He has it easier than I do. Or this one had an easier way than I did. There's more Jacob in some of us, and God chooses His own way as to how He is going to bring out and break the Jacob that's within us. In Proverbs 13:15, it says this. It says, the way of the transgressor is hard. Do you know what that means? It means it's rough, it's tough, and it's rugged. And that's what the Lord's saying to you this morning. Then when you sense the chastisement coming into your life, why God chooses it the way He chooses it is God's way. It's God's plan, and it's God's purpose for your life. But God's saying that rugged, hard self that's in you requires my time, and I'm going to break it. I'm going to break the self-life that's in you, the Jacob, that wants to transgress. And it's going to be hard on Jacob because he's a transgressor. The Jacob that lives in you transgresses against God. And God's chastisement comes upon not you, but Jacob. It comes upon the Jacob that's in your life, and it breaks the hard self that's in you so that you can become a vessel. You know, and I get it sometimes from you. I see you look at me like, well, I don't know if I want to be a vessel. We're going to be vessels. We're going to be vessels meet for the Master's use in God's house. There are many vessels. And we're going to choose to be gold and silver ones. And God says, I'm going to chastise the Jacob that's in your life. And you can see His hand. I can look into your lives, even in your individual lives, as well as in my own life. And I see the hand of God in your life. I see Him taking you from A to B to C to D. And I see the hand of God. I see the plans and the purposes of God coming to pass in your lives. And yes, I see God's chastisement on Jacob. Because God is bent on molding and making you into a vessel that will be glorifying to Him in this last hour. He is bent on you being a vessel for His use. Filled up. You mean, what am I going to do? Be a preacher? I'm going to be an evangelist? You're going to be filled up with the love of God. You're going to know Him. You're going to come to a place to know Him, to be filled with Him, to be filled with the love of God that constrains your ways, to be filled with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As the knowledge fills the earth, He wants to fill you with His knowledge. He wants to open up your understanding. He wants to take you into the deeper places of God where the Word is alive and it's real and it's sharp and it's quick within your own heart. God is bent on taking you into those places, and He's got a chastisement. He's got a vendetta against this Jacob in your life. And He's going to break him and mold him. He's going to take it until you're weak. Until you come to Him and say, God, I offer myself a vessel to be broken, to be poured out. Broken, spilled, poured out for you. God's bringing us to the place where we'll be broken vessels who are dependent upon Him. Not dependent upon our knowledge and ourselves, but dependent upon Him, weak. Weak. We see Jacob. We see ourselves. We don't like to admit it. But we see him. We see Jacob in the midst of God's blessings. In the midst of God moving and molding and making us, we see Jacob rise up to take care of himself. We see him throw his wall up and say, that's enough. I'm broke enough now. I've been through enough now. No more. And Jacob wants to protect himself. And you know what? We don't want to admit it, but we'll cheat you. Or we'll cheat her. Or we'll cheat him to take care of ourselves. We'll cheat. We'll lie and we'll deceive. To take care of the self within us that we don't want broken and we don't want touched anymore, because we've had enough of this breaking and we've had enough of the hardness and we've had enough of the discipline. When God is saying, I am sustaining you, I keep you. The Lord ministered this to me. So you got your eyes too much on the Jacob. You got to get your eyes on Isaac, on Abraham, on life, on life. God is Alpha and Omega. We sing it, we shout it. Do you hear what He's saying to you? I am Alpha, I am the very beginning, and I'm the end. And he's everything in between. God is at the beginning of the work in your life and the plan. He's at the end, and he sustains you to the very end. He starts with you in the beginning. He takes you through to the omega, to it's finished. He's holding and sustaining you. And we want to protect ourselves, and we'll cheat and we'll lie. I've seen us do it to one another. We'll cheat and we'll deceive to protect ourselves. And we don't like to admit it, and it hurts. The Lord trying to move. The Lord trying to prepare us for the end time, last days. The Lord trying to prepare our hearts. He's trying to stir us. You know what he's trying to do? Awaken us out of our sleepy little town attitudes, of our sleepy little church, country church thinking. God's trying to awaken us to the move of the Holy Ghost. In this last hour, he's trying to stir us and wake us up so that we're with it when the Spirit starts to move, that we don't miss the visitation of God. And that Jacob, in the midst of that, our heart yearns for it. We cry out for it in our prayers. Our heart cries. It weeps to be used of God, to see him in his glory. In this last hour, to be hidden in the cleft of the rock as Jesus passes by. And we see Jesus in all of his glory. Our heart cries for that. But in the midst of it, we see him. Jacob, rise up. And we're ashamed. We're ashamed. It cuts us to the heart. We cheat, we lie, we deceive. I know the Lord ministered to me. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed that I see Jacob want to stand up and stomp his foot and say, but I want it this way. But Jacob didn't choose God. God chose him. He was chosen. When he was a baby, chosen, with his personality, with his shortcomings, he already had the personality when he reached to grab his brother. Within him, God knew him when he formed and fashioned him in his mother's womb. But he was chosen. And we hate seeing Jacob rise up in our hearts. And we want to hide our faces because we're ashamed. In the midst of God moving and planting and producing and pushing us forth and pushing us out, we hate to see him rise up. But the Lord wants to assure you that if the heart cry is for him, that God chose Jacob as a chosen vessel. Through this man, the precious seed and the precious life would go forth. The Lord would say to you that the promise still stood. God knew he had the answer. God wasn't looking to Jacob again. He was looking to God. And God knew he had the ability to mold and make this man into that God had chosen for his life to be. Jacob, the more I read about Jacob, he is the most outstanding figure in the Old Testament. To see what God did in this man's life. To see how he leaned himself on a stick the rest of his life, because there was no more independence and self-will in his life. He leaned on a stick until he had to rise up out of his deathbed and ask Joseph to bless him. To his very end, he leaned. Because he was God's chosen vessel. Do we understand? We look within ourselves and we say, God, how could you choose this? How could you choose this in all of us, our ways, and in the way we see ourselves? And yes, we're good at this, and we're good at that, but oh God, this. And it's like God is bent on molding and making you, and he'll continue to take you through. But you think in your mind, God, hadn't I been through enough? Isn't it done yet? We think we're with it, we think we're together, and we think, oh, it's not done yet. But that's the hand of God. God is patient. God is patient and very long-suffering because he has omega in his mind. Because he sees the end, and he is very patient in his dealings.
and very long-suffering and very loving in the way he deals with our hearts to prepare us for our end. For that will glorify him when our season comes. Amen? God would mold him and make him, guide him and lead him. And then we get to the point where Jacob went and, you know, he had to leave home and he left in a hurry. And he was told to go to his mother's brother's house, Laban. And so that's where he went and he stayed there. And if you've read the story in it all, you know that the two were just like brothers because they both deceived each other. I mean, one deceived one as good as the other one could deceive the other one. So Jacob met his match because he wanted to marry one daughter, the prettiest and the youngest. And so he worked 7 long years for this woman. Well, on his wedding day, he thinks the father of the bride has agreed that he can have this woman. And he is in love with her. I mean, he loves her. She loves him. It's going to be a marriage made in heaven. He works the 7 long years for this woman, and he wakes up on his marriage night, and he has actually been given the older one. I mean, how deceived. I mean, so you can imagine he met his match. But I don't want to get into all of that. I feel the Lord wants me to move on. He lived with Laban, and with all the times that God dealt with him, you can imagine how it hit him when he was deceived. You can imagine what started running through his mind and his heart when he knew he had been deceived, and he knew that what could I say because I'm just as bad. And so you know that God the Holy Ghost, because you know how God the Holy Ghost deals, you know God dealt with him. And you know God began to try to minister to Jacob, but in all actuality, Jacob came from Laban's house 20 years later, still pretty much unchanged, still lying and deceiving. Amen? But God had a purpose for this man's life. He was there 20 years and still virtually unchanged. Can anybody say amen? But God had a purpose for this man's life. And you're in Genesis 30, right? Look what starts to happen to this man, this deceiver, this cheater. He has been 20 years in the dealings of God, and he's still not much better. But look at the hand of God in this man's life. You can see Omega is at work here. He is intent on finishing his product. He's intent on finishing his vessel that it will glorify him in the end. God didn't give up on him, nor did he leave him to himself. And you start to see that here. He has been 20 years in the same spot. And some of you look at yourselves and you go, amen. But look what God started to do in his life. And it's simple and it's small, but you got to see it. It's in verse 25. It says, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, this is 20 years later now, send me away that I may go into my own place and to my own country. You say, what's the happening? What's the big deal? Do you see that this man has been content, lying and deceiving for 20 years? He has been blessed with flocks upon flocks, but all of a sudden there starts to become a stirring within him. A stirring for what? To go home. He wants to go back home. He's seen that this is a dead end here. I'm going to always be this way. I'm a deceiver. I'm a liar. And God, by the Holy Ghost, starts to stir a desire in this man to get out of this place and go home. I've seen that in my own life. I will sit still in one spot in my walk with God because it was comfortable and it was secure. And I would just sit there and get satisfied. And the Holy Ghost, because he's Omega, because he's got a plan and a purpose for our lives, and he's bent on you being the vessel that he's intended you to be. He wants every life to glorify him, to be filled with the love of Christ. You don't have to look at your neighbor and say, I wish I had that walk with God that he's got. God's saying it is for whosoever will come. You don't have to look at this one or that one or some other one. You don't have to look and say, I wish I had the wisdom, or I wish I had the intimacy, or I wish I had the this or the that. God's saying, will you come? And we sit still and we get satisfied because we're fearful to move out of this place. But this man, he was full of himself 20 years worth.
Oh, you think God left him alone? I'm sure he sensed the dealings of God. And he starts to get this stirring in his heart. I mean, he's making a killing. He's deceived his father-in-law. He's got herds and goats and sheep beyond measure. He is making a fortune in money. But God, the Holy Ghost, is not content with this man staying put. So he starts to stir Jacob's heart, the deceiver and the liar. And he starts to stir him. He goes to his father-in-law and says, I believe it's time for me to go home now. I can't make you hear it. I can't give you the ears of the Spirit, but you need to hear him. It's nothing that you mustered up. You don't have it. And, you know, let's go ahead and pop our balloons. We ain't got it to stir it with. It's not there. Has it not been given to us from heaven? God, the Holy Ghost, only does what he's been told to do. He says, I do nothing nor do I say anything except what the Father's told me to say and do. The Holy Ghost started stirring this man's heart because God the Father from heaven said, go stir him to get out of this place. And God started to stir a desire. He didn't muster it up in some big prayer meeting one day. The Holy Ghost stirred his heart and began to stir an unction to go home. I got to get away from here. I got to get out of here. I want to go back to Bethel where I saw God. I want to get back to the place where I saw the heavens open and the angels ascending and descending, where the ladder was Jesus entering me into heaven. I want to go back to Bethel. I want to go home. The Holy Ghost stirred that in his heart. The Holy Ghost stirred this man. Look what he says in chapter 31, verse 3. Now catch this. He got the inklings of the Holy Ghost the first time, stirring a desire, but catch it. It says in verse 3, and the Lord said. You see, the stirring is beginning to get increased in his heart, and he's hearing God talk. This man's not heard God talk in a long time. He's been full of himself. But the Lord's beginning to talk to him, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred. And what, look what he says. And I will be with thee. He's not changed a lick. He is still Jacob. But God says, Jacob, if you'll go back to the land of your fathers, I'll be with you every step of the way. Because I have a plan and I have a purpose for your life. And you got to go back home. You got to go back to Bethel where you see God. You got to go back to Bethel where the heart stirred. You got to go back to Bethel where the heart is stirred by the Holy Ghost, where you see God. You're complacent. You're fearful of moving from this place. He is making money hand over foot. He's got his wives, his this, his that, the other. And the Lord is starting to stir him. And you sense that, some of you, in your own life. The Lord's stirring you now. He's saying, I want you to get out of this place. You know what he's literally doing? He's stirring Jacob's nest. He's starting to stir his nest up a little bit now. He's getting a little bit uncomfortable where he's at. Because there's some stirrings. I'm not telling you that it's not going to be fearful. It is going to be fearful in your life because you're fixing a step out into something you know nothing about. I'm going to lose what people think of me. I'm not going to be spiritual anymore. I'm going to lose control of what's going on in my life. You know, because now I look like I'm pretty together. But if I go starting to get someplace where I know nothing about, I'm not going to look together. And I'm going to feel fearful and I'm going to be out of control and I'm not going to like that. In verse 13, he says this, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillow, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Jacob, you remember what you told me? Now arise. Hear the Spirit, saints, arise. Get thee out of this land, and return into the land of thy kindred. Return to the place where God is, where God stirs your heart. Don't sit in a satisfied place. Content with a little bit of God. Afraid to test the waters. Afraid to go into the depths. Afraid you're going to not be able to swim. Afraid you're going to lose control. God said, arise and get thee out of this place. I've got another place for you. And he was stirring Jacob's nest. And he started to get restless in his heart. You don't understand it. You don't know where it's coming from, but you're restless. There's something not right. There's a restlessness in your heart. And you start to feel a divine restlessness and you're discontent. You're not satisfied with the hush you've been eating. Because God's saying the table's over here. And the Holy Ghost is starting to stir your heart that I don't have to be satisfied with the husk of the swine. The Master has a table. And it's for me. Not because I've done good. Not because I've done it right. Not because I have a great testimony behind me and some legacy. But because God said I'm chosen. Am I advocating that you never have a history with God? I'm not advocating that, but I'm saying we're on sure footing here. And the Lord's saying, I'm telling you to arise and get thee out of this place. Leave the husk behind and go sit at the table with the Lord. And you start to feel that discontentment and hunger starts to be created in your heart for Him. You want Him. You don't want to just talk about Him. There's a hunger down there that you can't explain. Because it's been given to you by God. And your heart is stirred. And the hunger is there. And you're hearing God say, arise now. Let's move. You feel a bit fearful. I'm not debating that. You're going to be fearful. But the Lord's going to be with you. Turn to Deuteronomy 32. You say that's scary. It is scary to walk in places you never walked. But the Lord wants to encourage you that He's going to be with you and He's never going to leave you. That when you hear that voice in your ear that tells you to arise, you can feel free and confident to arise and to go forth in His name. Amen? If you start with verse 9, it says, you got to catch this. It says, for the Lord's portion is His people, Jacob, good old Jacob. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. It says, He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness, and He led him about, and He instructed him, and He kept him as the apple of His eye. It says that Jacob was the lot of His inheritance. It says, Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. You know what the word lot means? It means he's the promise. He's the pledge. But you know what else the word means? It means to labor in childbirth and bring forth in pain. He's the promise. But it's going to be come forth through the laboring and the pressure of a child being born into the kingdom with pain. So He is saying to you that Jacob is the promise. You're the life. You've got the promise within you. The seed is preserved through us as Christians. But it's preserved through the pain of a childbirth. Do you get it? The promise is there, but the promise won't come forth until the pain comes. That's the chastisement. I'm just trying to reestablish and reaffirm to you that it's not always going to be a jump and a shout. We have to be mature Christians and walk through our times with God. But the Lord is constantly, never have I had the Lord so constantly try to encourage a people as you all that I am with you. If somebody had told me that 10 years ago, maybe I would have been nicer today. You understand? Nobody told me when I was in the midst of mine what it was. I didn't know if I was coming or going. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not make it. But the Lord is saying to you, I'll be with you. I'm a testimony to that. God never left me. I shook my finger at God one day in my bedroom. I said, God, You've shown me this junk in my life. I see it. I can't do anything about it. I don't have the ability to move it. I'm praying and You're doing nothing. I was frustrated. I see it. What do You want me to do? I can't move it. I don't want to be this way. I know the promise is within me. I know You want to preserve the life through me. I know You have a call on our lives. I know it, God, but I can't move this thing in my life. Where are you? I remember I was mad. Immature and mad. Because God seemingly wasn't hearing my prayer. I see it. I walked the floor one night. God, you got to show me what is this. He immediately opened my eyes. I saw it. I thought, oh no. Scared me to death when he revealed to me what was in there that was hindering me. It scared me. And so then I think, well, praise God. After I get a grip, I think, well, praise God. We'll take it to the Lord. He'll set us free. I took it to the Lord. I took it to the Lord. I took it to the Lord. Days turned into weeks. Weeks turned into months. But what I didn't understand, I said, God, you're not moving. You're not doing anything. I don't see your hand. I don't see what you're doing. I'm going around in circles. You're not moving. You're not doing this for me. What is the problem? And I was getting upset because I couldn't get it to move because Beth had always been in control and now she's not. And I was upset about that. And so I started to get upset with the Lord. And I remember that day I stomped my foot. I was praying. And I stomped my foot. I said, where are you? Where are you? Don't you hear me? Where are you? And immediately the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, do you want me to tell you where I am? Do you want to hear where I am? He said, I'm upholding you and I'm keeping you because the enemy is coming in like a flood trying to wash you away in the midst of this work I'm doing in your life. And I'm keeping you in the midst of the flood of the enemy. I don't want you to be washed away. I'm preserving your life to complete the work that you'll glorify me. That's what he told me. It was like the heavens opened. Oh, I didn't see him. I didn't feel him, but God said, I'm holding you. I'm sustaining you. Yes, there's a work being done in your life. The enemy wants to take you out. But I got a plan for your life, and I uphold you while the flood goes, and I do the work. Who sustains you? He does. He does. Why? Because he's Omega. Because he has an end, he has a finish, and he has a plan for your life. And you're not to sit between A and B the rest of your life. There's a C over here, and God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has vessels made for his master's use that he's going to flow through. In this last hour, voices in the wilderness calling, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his way straight. Today is the day of salvation. Come and hear what the Lord said. In this last hour, God's going to have voices on every hillside and every valley and every dark place and every marketplace. He'll have voices. But in the midst of you being prepared, God over and over and over with his Father's heart is saying, I uphold you. And the enemy can't wash you away. Get you up out of this place. And go and sit at the master's table. And he'll sustain you. Is it easy? I can't tell you that it's going to be always easy. It is as if a baby is being birthed in your life. But when it comes, the Bible says, it is as if somebody has put his pressure and pushing up against your life. He's pushing. Oh no, it's got to be sharp. It's not sharp pain. It is constant pressure in your life. Why? It's pushing that life out. But what's the word say? When the man child is born, there is such rejoicing that the mother remembers not the pain. I don't even think about the pain when I look at my children. You know what I can remember is the first time that doctor held their face up and I saw them. Even you ask him, when I tell people, they'll ask me, well, what was your labor like? Oh, it wasn't that bad. Everybody had it wrong. Everybody said it was this, that, and it wasn't that bad. I look back at my life, it was tough, but it really wasn't that bad. God was upholding me and keeping me. I saw him. 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 I tasted him. I touched him. He let me fellowship with him. He upheld me. I held him. He held me. I saw him. And I don't remember all the pain. I remember it's not easy. But the glory that is before you and seeing him and knowing him and being filled with him and knowing you're going to be a vessel and a voice for his purposes. It's worth it. worth it. The pressure that comes in your life, yes, it comes because the promise is in you. You ought to want to shout. If ever you want to shout, you ought to want to shout. Not when the music's at high pitch, but when God tells you the promise, sister, brother, the promise is in you. Not maybe, I hope it is. You reckon I got it? Do you think God's got it for me? Do you think I'll be one of those? Do you think maybe God might could you? The promise is in you. The promise, the life, the seed of life is within you. And God says, we got to get it out now. The life is in there. Let's break the vessel. Let's put you in labor. Let's get you in labor. Oh, we dread that. No, we don't dread the labor. We want this baby out. We want this life so everybody can do it all for him. So everybody can tell us how pretty he is, how cute he is. Oh, that's such life. Everybody rejoices. Everybody, even the hardest man in Walmart, smiles when the baby passes. When the life passes. When the life comes, everybody wants to embrace it. Everybody wants to get you, get you, get. Everybody smiles. Everybody acts a fool over babies. Amen? The Lord said it's in there, the life, the promise, the life of Christ. It's in there. We got to go through the pain, the childbirth, the chastening, the discipline to get it to come out. But when it comes, oh, hallelujah, when it comes, we don't remember the childbirth. We remember the life of Christ. And that's what God is trying to do in our lives. The promise is there. The seed. If you're born again. If you got a heart for God. If your heart yearns for Him. If you say, I do, but this. He knows about Jacob. But Jacob was the lot. He was the promise. But the promise was going to come forth through the childbirth. The chastisement. Jacob, if you would have told him that 20 years ago, it would have blown him away. If you knew how God is going to use you in the next 10 years, some of you would be blown away. But God's not telling us, is He? He's saying we're going to go through this childbirth and we're going to get this life out and then we'll talk about it. You're going to learn to trust me. First thing on the list is going to be trust. And then we'll talk about usage. Amen? The promise is there. But we got to get it out. It comes through the stirring. Oh, I've worked up a sweat. It comes through the stirring of the Holy Ghost. When you start to sense the Holy Ghost start to stir you to get up, God's fixing to bring it out. The life is fixing to come forth now because He's getting you out of that place to get you in another one. He's getting you out of this place to put you in another one. Amen? We're going deeper now. We're not going from A to zero. We're going from A to B. We're going further in. He's taking us from here to here. We're going further into Him now. So anytime He tells you to arise and get from this place, you're not going backwards. You're going forward now. You're going deeper into the things of God. Fearful? Yes, it can be. Tough sometimes? Yeah, we sense the pain. We sense the pressure of God squeezing. But you got to remember that the life is in you. It's a promise. It's the lot of the inheritance. The seed is preserved through you. And the life is in you, and God's going to get it out. You're with me. So God starts to stir us. He said that Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in the desert land in his waste. You know what that is? Confusion, desert, emptiness, vanity. Anybody say amen? God, that's where He found him. Wandering around in the desert, full of vanity, full of self, full of his ideas, his ways. With a seed in him. Good night. With a seed in him. Full of vanity, full of emptiness, full of himself with a seed. Somewhere in there, God planted the seed. I said, I found him in the wilderness wandering around under the chastisement of God. It was in the wilderness where God chastened them and where He molded them and made them, where He tested them, where they learned to be dependent on God. God found this man in the desert wandering around in his emptiness and in his vanities with a seed. And He said, Jacob, you got the promise. And in this wilderness, we're going to bring it out. Somebody ought to say, tell him to send mine now. I want this wilderness because I want the life. God's trying to encourage you. Don't crawl up in a corner when it starts to come in your life. Don't throw your hands up like that. God says to arise and get thee from this place. God's saying you ought to say, okay, God, this is my time. This is my season. This is the time that you've planted for me. This is my appointed time. This is my visitation, mine and mine alone. This is my visitation of God. I will not let it pass me by. Give me the grace, God, whatever comes. I don't know if it's going to be good or if it's going to be bad, but God, give me the grace to embrace whatever it is and sustain me, God. This woman has told us for 11 messages that you would sustain me. Now, I'm in the midst of this, and you're going to have to sustain me or she's a liar. I'm not a liar because I love Jesus, and liars don't love Jesus, and liars don't go to heaven, they go to hell. I'm not a liar. I'm telling you, God is going to sustain you in the midst of this. Why? Because he's going to bring out the life in you. We ain't preached 13 years to you for nothing. The life of Christ is going to come out. Let every devil be a liar. Let every man be a liar. But the word of God will come forth in this city. And you can sit there if you want to and choose your way. It took the man 20 years to get where he wanted to go. It is your choice how long it takes you. But God has got a plan and purpose for your life. And the life of Christ will come out in his remnant. Oh, I could take off and run. I'm telling you, you got to get rid of the country church mentality. You got to get rid of a little bit of mentality, this little thing. You got to get rid of it. You got to get your eyes on Jesus. Life. Wandering around in the desert, not knowing where I'm going, being chastened by God. Know it's his hand. I know it ain't the devil. I know it ain't just the flesh. I know it's the hand of God working something out in me. I don't know why I'm here. I know it's God. And God's saying to you, hear him. The life's in you, Jacob. Calls you Jacob. Knows it's in there. But the life's in you. The seed. The life of Christ is in you. We're going to bring it out. We are schemers, liars, and full of ourselves. And God said, but that seed is in you. And it will. It was a promise. Through Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of them, it will. There will, oh, hallelujah. There will always be the seed of David upon the throne. Forever. And it is today. Oh, hallelujah. The seed of Abraham. Abraham's children. We are preserved with that same life in us to take and preserve in others and plant. Amen? Hallelujah. He found him in the desertness, in his confusion, his emptiness, his vanity, wasted with a seed. And he was to be instructed. It says he found him in the howling wilderness, and he led him about. God led him and guided him. The hand of God on his life. Can you remember seeing Moses go through the desert? A hand that he can't see driving him deeper and deeper into a wilderness, a desert place. Why? To be molded and fashioned by the hand of God. For what? To deliver God's people in his day. Driven by a hand he can't see. By God, he don't even know. Deeper and deeper into a wilderness place. Why? Because God's hand was on him and was fashioning and making him into the vessel God wanted him to be. He found this man in the wilderness, howling, noise, wind blowing, desolate, empty, confused, tired, weary, scared. And he finds him. And he says, I led him about, hallelujah, and I instructed him. And I kept him as the apple of my eye. He never left my eye. I always knew where he was. He never left my eye. Always in the middle of my eye. I never left him. Amen? It says, in verse 11, this is where I was trying to get, as an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young,
She spreadeth abroad her wings and taketh them and beareth them up on her wings. He said he led him and he guided him. He instructed him in the wilderness. It says he compares him to the mother eagle. When the babies are in that nest, they are mature enough to fly and refuse to because they're comfortable there. The nest is nice and soft. She's made it, she's padded it with feathers. It's nice, it's soft. The Holy Ghost is comparing God to that mother eagle. We're in soft places. We're satisfied. We're content. The Lord's saying, arise and go. And we're going, wait a minute. I'm comfortable. It's nice here. There's no worry. I don't have to get somewhere where I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have to try to go into the deeper things of God. I'm content. I don't have to really have to press in and really have to walk by faith if I stay here and trust Him and have to see Him and His hand in my life if I stay here. If I stay here, I can still be caught up with the shout and the emotions and the going through the motions, and I can stay here and everybody will think I'm fine and I can be content. And God's saying, I'm like a mother eagle. You coming out of there. And the eaglets are big enough and mature enough to fly. They're just afraid. So you know what Mama does? First of all, she goes and takes all the feathers out of the nest, so it's not comfortable anymore. And every time the little eaglets sit down, it sticks them. And they start to get real uncomfortable in this place where they always were secure. And they don't like it anymore. And there's a discontentment starts to roll up in their hearts. And sometimes when you're discontent, you want to point your finger at Him. It's God the eagle saying it's time to move on. You've been here too long. You're getting fat and satisfied, and it's time for you to move on and learn to fly. It's tired of you being fed milk and worms by my hand. It's time for you to move on. Amen? And so she stirs him up, and she makes him get out. So she takes the feathers out, and so it's not comfortable, and it sticks them. Every time they move, they're pricked in heart. Every time I come to church, every time I come, I can't get comfortable. The word this, the word. Amen. That's not the pastor. That's God the Holy Ghost eagle saying, move on now, brother. Move on, sister. Arise. Stop eating the husk when you can have the table. Stop staying shallow and immature in the elementary things of God when you can go deeper. That's the love of God, saints, that'll push you on. Amen? So she takes the feathers out, and you know what she does? She puts them on the edge of that nest and gives them a swift kick. Can you imagine? These little eagles are scared to death. Do you know where an eagle pitches his nest? Highest place he can find. And here this little eagle is, and she puts him on the edge of that nest, and she pushes him out. And you can imagine he is scared to death. But God has a plan and has a purpose for getting you out of that nest. He's going to teach you to fly. He's going to teach you to fly. And we're afraid because we've never been this way before. But you can imagine, when she pushed him out of that nest, here he goes, free falling, tumbling, trying to get it together. Oh God, I gotta do something. So here he goes. But Mama Eagle's got her eye on him. And as she flutters over him, you know what she's doing? She's brooding over him. She's watching him. It pains her heart to have to push him, but she knows the glory it's gonna be when he learns the freedom of flying. And she's willing to take the task of pushing him out in order for him to experience freedom and liberty in life. And she pushes him out and she hovers over him while he's free falling and seeing if he can get it together to fly. And she's brooding over him to make sure if anything happens, she swoops down under him and picks him up before he hits the ground. You see, you feel like you're free falling. You feel like you're just totally out of control. Here God has asked you something, to do something, to go somewhere, to get up from this place, and you're totally out of control, and the Lord's pushing you out of the nest, and you feel like you're out all by yourself, but she's watching. And when she sees that you're almost going to get to the bottom and can't keep yourself, she'll swoop up under you and take you right back up to the heights. And you know what she does then? Drops you again. You know why she drops you again? Because you're going to learn to fly. And here we go again. And she's brooding over you, watching you to see if you're going to flap those wings. And she swoops down under you. You know it says in Exodus 19:4. You don't have to turn there. It says, I bear you on eagles. It says, I bear you on eagles' wings. I bear you on eagles' wings and brought you to myself. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I swooped down under you and I caught you. And I'm carrying you on my wing. Do you know what most animals, birds of prey, where they carry their young in their talons? But they say the eagle doesn't carry her young in her claws. She carries them on her wings. You know why? Because she's always alert that the archer may try to shoot. And if it does, she knows it has to go through her in order to touch that young one. God says you can't fly, but I'll bear you up. And if the fiery darts and the archer comes, it'll hit me first. And if it passes through me, I wanted it to touch you. The Lord wants to try to take your fear. He says, I'll bear you up. I'll keep you. And if it passes through me, it's meant for you. But if not, that's a way of protecting you from the enemy when it starts fly. Because he's bearing you up and he brings him to yourself. He brings you to himself. And so this mother eagle drives you out of your nest, of your comfort zone, of your place of security. And God says, we're going to go deeper now. We're going to learn to fly. The freedom that must come with flying. The life, and if we take it over into the spiritual, the life that comes with getting out of our nest, the liberty and the life, the freedom from the yokes and the bondages and the heaviness that comes with trusting in the Lord and allowing Him to push us out. It says in 2 Corinthians, and I'll close with this, it says, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory revealed, for the light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh out for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And so the Lord is trying to encourage you that yes, He is upsetting your nest. But the Lord said He'd keep you and He'd preserve you during that time of your learning your confidence and strength is in Him. And He says, it's a lot of affliction for that I have awaiting you to see the glory of God. The glory of God's always Jesus Christ. He said, the lot of affliction does not compare with beholding Him. Amen. So the Lord is going to stir our nest. The Lord spoke to Jacob and He's calling him to arise and come back to Bethel, where the Spirit's free to touch his heart and where his heart is warm and melted toward the things of God. Amen?